Let's pray before we open God's word. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we ask again that you give us your spirit to understand it and to be transformed by it, that we would be able to see Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, may you take away all distraction. May you take away the things that I say that are unhelpful. And Lord, may you remain fast the things that point us to Jesus and the hope that we have in him. We pray with confidence in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning, this afternoon, is from Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. We're going to read all of chapter 3. You can find that on page 95, if I have the same Bible as you. Numbers chapter 3. This is God's word. This is the account of the family of Aaron and Moses at the time the Lord talked with Moses on Mount Sinai. The names of the sons of Aaron were Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Those were the names of Aaron's sons, the anointed priests, who were ordained to serve as priests. Nadab and Abihu, however, fell dead before the Lord when they made an offering with unauthorized fire before him in the desert of Sinai. They had no sons, so only Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests during the lifetime of their father Aaron. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring the tribe of Levi and present them to Aaron, the priest, to assist him. They are to perform duties for him and for the whole community at the tent of meeting by doing the work of the tabernacle. They are to take care of all the furnishings of the tent of meeting, fulfilling the obligations of the Israelites by doing the work of the tabernacle. Give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are the Israelites who are to be given wholly to him. Appoint Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. Anyone else who approaches the sanctuary must be put to death." The Lord also said to Moses, "I have taken the Levites from among the Israelites in place of the first male offspring of every Israelite woman. The Levites are mine, for all the firstborn are mine. When I struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, I set apart for myself every firstborn in Israel, whether man or animal. They are to be mine. I am the Lord." The Lord said to Moses in the desert of Sinai, "Count the Levites by their families and clans. Count every male a month old or more." So Moses counted them as he was commanded by the word of the Lord. These were the names of the sons of Levi: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These were the names of the Gershonite clans: Libni and Shimi. The Kohathite clans: Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The Merarite clans: Mahli and Mushi. These were the Levite clans according to their families. To Gershon belonged the clans of the Libnites, the Shimnites. These were the Gershonites' clans. The number of all the males a month old or more who are counted was 7,500. The Gershonite clans were to camp on the west behind the tabernacle. The leader of the families of the Gershonites was Eliasaph, son of Lael. At the tent of meeting, the Gershonites were responsible for the care of the tabernacle and tent, its coverings, the curtain at the entrance to the tent of meeting, the curtains of the courtyard, the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard surrounding the tabernacle and altar, and the ropes and everything related to their use. To Kohath belonged the clans of the Amramites, Izharites, Hebronites, and Uzzielites. These were the Kohathite clans. The number of all the males a month old or more was 8,600. The Kohathites were responsible for the care of the sanctuary. The Kohathite clans were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle. The leader of the families of the Kohathite clans was Elizaphan, son of Uzziel. They were responsible for the care of the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the articles of the sanctuary used in ministering, the curtain, and everything related to their use. The chief leader of the Levites was Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest. He was appointed over those who were responsible for the care of the sanctuary. To Merari belonged the clans of the Merarites and the Mushites. These were the Merarite clans. The number of all the males a month old or more who were counted was 6,200. The leader of the families of the Merarite clans was Zeal, son of Abihail. They were to camp on the north side of the tabernacle. The Merarites were appointed to take care of the frames of the tabernacle, its crossbars, posts, bases, all of its equipment, and everything related to their use, as well as the posts of the surrounding courtyard with their bases, tent pegs, and ropes. Moses and Aaron and his sons were to camp to the east of the tabernacle, toward the sunrise, in front of the tent of meeting. They were responsible for the care of the sanctuary on behalf of the Israelites. Anyone else who approached the sanctuary was to be put to death. The total number of Levites counted at the Lord's command by Moses and Aaron according to their clans, including every male a month old or more, was 22,000. The Lord said to Moses, count all the firstborn Israelites, males who are a month old or more, and make it a list of their names. Take the Levites for me in place of the firstborn of the Israelites, and the livestock of the Levites in place of the firstborn of the livestock of the Israelites. I am the Lord. So Moses counted all the firstborn of the Israelites, as the Lord commanded him. The total number of firstborn males a month old or more listed by name was 22,273. The Lord also said to Moses, take the Levites in place of all the firstborn of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites in place of their livestock. The Levites are to be mine. I am the Lord. To redeem this 273 firstborn Israelites who exceed the number of the Levites, collect 5 shekels for each one, according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. Give the money for the redemption of the additional Israelites to Aaron and his sons. So Moses collected the redemption money from those who exceeded the number redeemed by the Levites. From the firstborn of the Israelites, he collected silver weighing 1,365 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons as he was commanded by the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the most stressful jobs is in the world is supposedly an air traffic controller. They're dealing with hundreds of lives as you direct airplanes around each other and away from storms and calculating jet fuel and making sure planes are at different heights, they're not running into each other. They're responsible for people's lives. And you think of this job, holding people's lives in your hands. This is really the role of the Levites here. The book of Numbers starts off about the Levites, and Numbers 3, we see who the Levites are, we see what they do, and why they do this. And the main point I want you to see is that God guards his people. God guards his people through the Levites. So we're going to look at this passage. We're going to look at Numbers 3, and we're going to look at who the Levites are, what they do, and lastly, why they do this. And Levites are, first of all, we're going to look at who they are. And Levites are gods. They're chosen for a special task. God has called all Israel as his people, but verse 12, God says, I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel. So why choose the Levites out of Israel? And in this point, we'll see that God chose the Levites to show his sovereignty over all of creation. God chose them not because they had anything to offer, but to show that God had grace to pour out. God chose a people so that he could dwell on earth, really. Exodus 19, verse 5, God says to Israel, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So God chooses Israel out of all the earth. The earth is the Lord's, all people belong to God, and God can do what he wants, because it's his world. We are his people, everybody. And that's why in verse 5 and verse 14, God commands Moses to do this, because he is God. But why does God do this? Well, God is all powerful, he's holy. Why take for himself out of the world a little people like Israel, an insignificant people like Israel? Why take an insignificant tribe out of an insignificant people? Why take the Levites? Well, God is showing he is a big God. We are small people. God's people, well, he saved them from Egypt, right? God told Pharaoh to let his firstborn son go, and we see that language there of firstborn son in our passage. Israel is God's firstborn of all people, and God claims authority over all creation by saying all the firstborn are his. So he takes Israel as his firstborn, and then he takes Levites from the firstborn of all Israel. You see, in Exodus 22, verse 29, God claims all the firstborn sons and animals as a sign of his authority. So God is taking Israel as a sign of his authority over all of creation. And maybe you know the plague in Egypt that God used to show his power. God killed all the firstborn sons throughout all Egypt, but spared the Israelite firstborns. He spared them through the killing of a lamb. The lamb's blood was painted on the doorposts, and the angel of death would pass over. That's what it's called, Passover. Those houses with the blood on the doorposts. Whereas the houses with the blood, without the blood, the angel would go in and kill the firstborn sons in those homes. There was no distinction of an ethnicity. I mean, God told his people what to do, right? So that's why those people were spared, why Israelites were spared. But the only thing that distinguished them was that blood on the doorposts. God killed every firstborn that didn't have the blood marking the door. And this means Israel was nothing special. They were saved only because of the blood on their doorposts. God is saying the whole earth, everything in it are mine. And God declares to all creation his authority by taking for himself a people, Israel. And instead of taking the firstborn sons from all of Israel, he takes the tribe of Levi, the whole tribe of Levi. And he says, the tribe of Levi is mine. They're dedicated to me, to my service. They're assigned to Israel that I am God. They're assigned to the world that I am God. And he takes them from Egypt with that sign, with the blood on the doorposts. So they're nothing special. So Israel belongs to God. It's as though God takes his stamp, imprints it upon his, on his people, on these people, as his ownership. And what does he take them to do? Well, God takes Israel, marks the Levites. He shows he's the maker, sustainer of the universe. Everything belongs to him. Israel's nothing special. They're not any better than the people around them. They needed a lamb killed instead of them by the angel leaving Egypt. What do you do when you see a brand of ownership? Because that's really what God has done with Israel. He's branded them. You see a cow branded with somebody else's brand, it means, well, there's an owner that owns them. Well, God, in a sense, brands humans. I mean, it's saying that he owns humanity, that he is sovereign over all things. It means that he is God. So who are the Levites? Well, they're a marker. They're a marker for the world. God is sovereign over all creation, over all people. And now that mark that God has taken as the Levites, I mean, we are that mark to the world. As believers of Jesus Christ, we are a mark to the world that Jesus Christ reigns over all. Just like Israel, I mean, we're nothing special. We don't gloat over how amazing we are that God has chosen us. Rather, we humbly praise God that he's taken us as his own, that he chooses us to be assigned to the world of his reign. And we can look down on the world. We can think we're better. We can look down on homeless people, on those that have less than we do, those that don't have jobs. Maybe their families are a mess. But do you think you've made any better choices that have made you distinguish from anybody else? I mean, we don't waste our money, or you don't waste your money on frivolous things. You work from dusk till dawn to bring home the bread. None of those things distinguish us from the world. I mean, there's people in the world that do the same thing. What distinguishes us from the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have God's law directing our lives. We have God's grace poured out upon us. It's nothing that you have done that makes you look down, or nothing that God has done that can make us look down on others. What God has done for us makes us equal with every other person. We are sinners saved by grace. When the world looks at us, what do they see? Do they see that we're better than everyone else? Or do they see, wow, God is gracious. God has saved a people like that. God can save me. Is that what the people look at us? Is that what they say? So the Levites are taken from Israel to show that God's sovereign, that God is gracious and saving a helpless people for himself. What did the Levites do? Well, verses 5 through 10 tell us two things, really. They carried and they guarded. But before we get to that, we have to make a distinction within the tribe of Levi. There are Levites and there are priests. Now, a priest is always a Levite. A priest comes from the tribe of Levi. But Levites are not always priests. So Levites are taken out of the tribe of Levi, but the whole tribe of Levi is not priests. We know the priests served in the temple, offering sacrifices, teaching, training God's people, but the priests were only a fraction of the Levites. What did all the other Levites do? Well, verse 6, God commands Moses to set the tribe of Levi before Aaron, that they may minister him. And then in verse 9, they are wholly given to Aaron and Aaron's sons. And Aaron and his sons are the priests. The priesthood comes from the line of Aaron. So God is saying the Levites are completely given to serve Aaron and his sons, to serve the priesthood. In verse 32, Eleazar, Aaron's son, is the head guy over all Levites. The priesthood is over the Levites. And what did they do? Well, mainly they did two things, these Levites. There's the priests, right? So the priests were serving in the temple. The Levites did two things. They carried and they guarded. They carried the tabernacle and they guarded the tabernacle. They guarded the priesthood. They guarded the people. Verses 14 through 37, we see the roles of all the families of Levi. These verses tell us the task of these families as Israel would be on the march, and also when they would they make camp. They cared for the tabernacle building, the curtains and the rods and the articles in the tabernacle. The Gershonites were in charge of the canopy, the curtains and everything connected to these things. The Kohathites were in charge of the ark, the tabernacle, or the table, the altar, all the vessels of the priests. And the Merarites were in charge of the frame of the tabernacle. Each of these clans or families would pack their stuff up when they went out to march, and they would carry it and then set up the tabernacle, and they would set up camp. Now, as we read Numbers 3, maybe you can't help but notice how many times the word guard is used. Around 11 times, most of those are in verses 1 through 6 or so. The main task of the Levites was to guard the tabernacle. And maybe carrying was a sense of guarding, looking after the building itself and who had got near the building. So what does that mean? Well, verse 7, they shall keep guard over him and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting as they minister at the tabernacle. They shall guard all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and keep guard over the people of Israel. Over the people of Israel, it's interesting, as they minister at the tabernacle. Then verse 10, and they shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall guard their priesthood. The guarding that the Levites are doing is centered around the tabernacle, the physical structure and the work of the priests around this building. Now, why is this? Well, this is huge. The whole Bible is centered around this idea, really, of holiness. God is holy. I mean, Numbers 3 is about a holy God. And how is a holy God going to dwell on earth? Why are the Levites commanded to guard over and over and over and over again? Why does verse 10 God command that if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death? Or again in verse 38, any outsider comes near is to be put to death. Well, because God is holy. God is holy. God is completely different, distinct, separate from everything that he has made. There is creation and there is God. God made creation. Creation, or God, is not a material existence at all. He's spiritual. He's different from the gods of human imagination. Humanity, on the other hand, is wicked. We're perverse. All of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. The desires of our hearts are evil all the time. God is not like this. God is not sinful. This means that God is holy. God cannot dwell where there is sin. Psalm 5 says God cannot even be in the... God can't even be a guest. Or can't even have a guest. Sorry, I'll start again. God cannot have sin as a guest. Not even as a guest in his presence. If sinners come into God's presence, Psalm 5 says God will destroy them from the face of the earth. This is why God has consecrated the Levites to be his. They are separated from the nation of Israel for special service to guard God's presence, to guard God's holiness. And look at the layout of how God commands all the families of Levi. The tabernacle is in the middle of the camp. And who is around it? Well, the Levites are around the tabernacle. The Gershonites are on the west side of the tabernacle. The Kohathites are on the south side of the tabernacle. The Merarites are on the north side of the tabernacle. And who's on the east side? The east side is the most important. Why is it the most important? Because that's the entrance to the tabernacle. That's the closest you can get to God's presence. Well, I mean, you can get to the Holy of Holies, but you're getting into God's dwelling at the entrance of the tabernacle. And God commands Moses, God commands Aaron and his sons to camp at the entrance of the tabernacle, at the east side. And notice that everyone is placed in relation to the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the most important, because the tabernacle is where God chooses to dwell with his people. And who's surrounding the tabernacle? I mean, the Levites, yeah, they're surrounding the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron in the front of the tabernacle. God is consecrated for service to him. The ones that he has set apart for himself to show that he is God. The Levites are to show that God is holy. They're surrounding the tabernacle. But this is an amazing thing. Who are they showing this to? I mean, Israel, yes, but I mean, Levites are all around the tabernacle, so Israel immediately sees, okay, they're guarding God's presence. But what more, as the world sees this, as the world sees this people existing, the Levites are commanded to kill any outsider that comes near. Outsider means strange one, really, anyone that is not a son of Aaron. No one was allowed near the tabernacle, near God's presence, except the priests. Not an Israelite, not even a Levite. A Levite was not allowed into God's presence. They guarded God's presence. And think back to how God claims the Levites in verse 13. All the firstborn are mine. On that day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for my own all the firstborn in Israel, both of man and of beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. It's connected to the Passover in Exodus. where God saved his people through blood, through sacrifice. God saved his people by substituting a lamb. Instead of a firstborn son, a lamb was killed, and blood was put on the doorposts. As Israel looks at the Levites, they're reminded of God's sovereign ownership, that they are also reminded of how they are saved. They are saved by sacrifice. For Israel to be saved, there had to be a perfect, perfect obedience, so there didn't have to be a sacrifice, but they were not perfectly obedient. So to be saved, they had to have a substitute. So either obey, so you don't have to sacrifice, or kill something in your place to come to God. The Levites' job is a life or death job. If they fail at their job, people die. Look at, as Israel looks at the Levites, they have to see perfect obedience or death. And it doesn't matter if you're a chosen priest. Just look at verse 5. Aaron's sons are killed because they offered unauthorized fire. They came before the Lord in a way that God did not command. So, coming into God's presence is a big deal. That's why you have Aaron and his sons at the entrance to the tabernacle. That's why you have the Levites surrounding the tabernacle. That's why you had Israel surrounding all of them. Here in Numbers, God is making a way to be with his people without killing them, without killing mankind. He sets apart a people for himself, Israel, but they are not a holy people. So he ordains priests to intercede for the people, Moses and Aaron and his sons. But even the priests are not holy. Aaron's sons died because they sinned. So he sets aside the Levites for himself, and they guard the people so they don't get close to God's presence. And now if you were looking at that tabernacle from a helicopter view, right, you have the tabernacle in the middle. You have the Levites surrounding the tabernacle. You have the priests at the entrance of the tabernacle. You have all Israelites surrounding all the Levites and the tabernacle. God is giving every protection possible for the world so that he can be here on earth. And you think about, how would an Egyptian get into the tabernacle? Well, they had to go through a lot of layers, right? They had to go through the Israelites. They had to go through the Levites. They had to go through the priesthood. And isn't that amazing? The existence of Israel is really for the world's protection. When we look at it from that perspective, Israelites are God's people to protect the world so God can be on earth. If Israel were not there, God would consume the world and destroy it because of sin. But no, God places Israel to guard God's holiness so he can be on earth. And Israel's there for the world's benefit so God can live here with us. And that's a scary place to be, thinking of guarding the presence of God. You think of guarding Chernobyl, nuclear ruins. You're keeping people out so they don't get hurt, but you're also wanting to stay out so you don't get hurt. God's presence is not something to be taken lightly. God is to be feared. His holiness means you can die. How do you worship a holy God then? We're looking at what the Levites did. They guarded God's holiness. How do you guard God's holiness? Well, we just skimmed over all the jobs of the Levites and their tasks of carrying. But if you think about it, the task of the Gershonites was curtains. They'd set up curtains around the tabernacle. They'd set up the curtains of the tabernacle, separating the sections of the tabernacle, separating the Holy of Holies. What if they didn't do their job well? What if the Merarites were in charge of the frame and the tabernacle? What if the Merarites didn't set up the frame well? They forgot to put the link. I don't know how they connected the frames. What if they forgot to put the hooks through to hold it together, and it just collapsed? And then you have the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, open. What happens? Well, God's presence is open for all, and there are sinners around. You see, every job is important to God, even the jobs of nailing tent pegs in. And we look at our lives right now, the job that we play. We're on display for the world. The world sees a holy God. The world sees the God that we serve. So what movies we watch, what shows we watch, are in front of the world. When we go for dinner, our conversations are on display. Our service is not just on Sunday morning worship. We are a light to the world so the world can see the God that we serve. We are signs for the world to see the one true Lord God Almighty. As we talk and people hear us in school, the conversations that we have, what we did on the weekend, do they hear of a holy God? Do they hear the protection we have of the God that we serve, that we are guarding? Or do they hear a crude talk that flirts with how the world talks? They hear an attempt of trying to be as much like the world as we can without actually being like the world. It's like having that boundary And there's that boundary. We're putting our face up to the fence as far as we can and pushing our face against it. Well, you might as well just be over the fence if you're trying to get across the fence that much. God is holy. Christians guard a life and death line. We don't want to miss pounding a peg in wrong and misplacing a curtain ring, because we're revealing the God that we serve. So finally, in our last point, why does this matter? We touched on it, really. God's holy, right? That is important. Why does it matter? Because God is holy. God is sovereign. But the tabernacle's gone. I mean, the priesthood, the Levites, they're gone. We live after the New Testament. Jesus came to tabernacle among us, right? John 1, to dwell among us. Sin has been paid. We looked at who the Levites were. They were owned by God. We looked at what they did. They served the priesthood, Aaron, by carrying, guarding God's presence. This matter's huge. Let me ask you, who do you belong to? What does that make you do? You belong to God and you serve the great high priest. You serve the great high priest. Israel is to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. So the Levites were taken from Israel to represent God's authority over all the earth. God gave the Levites to serve the priest, to guard the presence of God. But look at verses 1 through 5. The priests failed. They were still just regular people, sinful people. The priests could hardly go into God's presence. They had to offer sacrifices for themselves. The Levites served these priests that would keep dying, if not from offering unauthorized fires from sinning, then from old age. They'd keep failing. They were not holy themselves. And what a terrifying job. Think of being a servant to a man that kept on dying. And you're trying to guard God's presence. But these people that you're trying to guard, that you're trying to protect from dying, are dying themselves. The Levites had to guard the people so that they wouldn't be killed. And that was their main job. The Levites are called out to, the Levites would be calling out to people. There's a holy God among us. Do not come near. You have to go through us. You have to go through the priest. I mean, when we have a picture of a Levites, really, we should have a picture of a Levites. But a couple commentators have noted that the Levites were more like soldiers, really, than anything. They're guarding God's presence, calling out, a holy God is among us. Be careful. Don't come near. Stay away. You have to go through us. You have to go through the priests to know God. So why is this important? We see just how holy God is. We see just how impossible it is for us to get into God's presence, to get to heaven. Can you get to heaven on your own? There's no possible way. No. So then you read the Gospels. Jesus Christ has come. We have a direct access to God. The Levites were given to Aaron and his sons. Aaron that formed the golden calf, who turned Israel away from God. Aaron whose sons were killed by offering unauthorized fire. The Levites are given to this man, this priest. But in John 6, verse 36, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. God our Father claims ownership over us, and he has given us into service of not an Aaron, but a great high priest, the priest that has done everything necessary that we can come into God's presence. We're given to Jesus Christ, who is a Passover lamb, died in our place to free us from death. And like a Levite, he was to live a perfectly devoted life of service. But he did. He never sinned, never once. We serve the priest whose ministry was not keeping the sinners who didn't qualify out, but about bringing them into God's presence. Jesus turned to those who had no qualification to come to God, who are sinners. And he did this by clothing them in his righteousness. He clothed us with his perfect obedience and his shed blood. We are the Levites now. We stand warning of God's holiness. If you try to approach God on your own terms, beware. But we stand guard to the world and say, like Hebrews 4, verse 14, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You and I are not air traffic controllers. We don't have people's lives in our hands. We have much more than that. We have people's souls. Like the Levites, we proclaim a holy God to an unholy world. But like the Levites, well, unlike the Levites who called out, beware of a holy God, we say, come. Come to God through Jesus Christ. It means we defend God's holy name. It means we are going to have to speak to people. Call sin out. That is sin. We live in a world that misuses God's name everywhere. We live in a world that says church is non-essential. Brothers and sisters, church is essential. This is where a holy God meets his people. The church is not a building. The church is believers. It's us. We call out to a broken world, not to stay clear because there's a holy God, but we call out to a broken world, come. Come into God's presence through a faithful, through a perfect high priest, Jesus Christ, who clothes you in his righteousness so that you can come into the presence of a holy God. Come to him, be saved. Numbers 3 is a hard chapter to read. I mean, the beginning of Numbers is kind of a hard chapter to read. You have a bunch of lists of genealogies. But Numbers chapter 3 is an amazing picture of God's holiness. And when we read it in light of the Gospels, in the light of Hebrews, that we have a faithful high priest. Yeah, we can see how holy God is in Numbers chapter 3. We just see how holy God is through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we can come to that holy God. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our faithful high priest, that you are our perfect high priest, that you bring us into God's presence, the holy God's presence, because you are holy. And we thank you that you've shed your blood for us, that you've clothed us in your righteousness. And we thank you that we have salvation. Lord, may we be a light to the world, just as Israel was put on this earth, that you took a people for yourself so that you could dwell on earth. Lord, may we be that in this world right now, so that people come to you, that we can call out, come to Jesus Christ, come to God our Father through Jesus Christ. Lord, give us boldness, give us opportunity to do this, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.